Hello, everybody, and welcome to the pre-roll of Strangers in the Wood. Yes, it's me, your boy Kendo, here to bring you the ad stuff before the episode begins this time, because it's a very special episode. If you haven't heard, this is our season finale of Strangers in the Woods. Now, will there be more Strangers in the Woods later? Yes, this is not the end of the story, as you will be able to tell once we get to the end of this, but it is a very, very climactic moment for this arc, and we think for the story overall. So we want to really just kind of put a pin in it for a second so that we can take a step back, take a breath, play some more games, and then come back to it. Because, I mean, if you can't tell from listening, this is kind of emotionally draining. You know, we put a lot of ourselves into this story just for you all, and, you know, for ourselves as well, but it's a lot to play this game with these characters as much as we love them. So really, in order for us to be able to continue to put out the high quality content that, you know, we hope we're putting out, we're going to need to be able to take a break, play some fun games, and then come right back to it with fresh eyes, fresh minds, and fresh dice, I guess. Yeah, so after this episode, you will not be getting another episode of Tales Yet Told until July 6th. Then after that, we're moving to a bi-weekly format. So rather than it coming the Wednesday right after that, it'll come the Wednesday after that. Every 2 weeks. I hope that makes sense. In this way, we will be able to take a bit more time with each episode, make sure all of them are as good as we want them to be, and also just, you know, lessen our production time a little bit because we're all very busy people. So, you know, that's kind of what it is, and I hope you all will be able to stick alongside us. It will help a lot of people be able to catch up in the first place and also give us some time to, you know, get ahead on production. So I'm very excited about this hiatus and all of the new stuff we'll be able to make after it, and I hope you all will be too. Now, you can stay updated on everything that we're doing if you follow us on our social media on Twitter and Instagram at Tales Yet Told. It's where we give you episode information. It's where we give you character art. It's where you can find our Discord link for the server. And it's also where you can find information about Prayers in the Static, our actual play stream that we've been doing for a while. And it's still going, even though the podcast is on hiatus, where me and my co-host Ibrahim are playing tabletop games with a bunch of other people, slowly building a super cool sci-fi setting. Our next episode is our final episode of Mothership, and it will be on June 10th, the second Friday of June, and that is going to be a super cool episode. You can find all the VODs on YouTube, and you can find that link on our Twitter. So go and do that, please. And thank you, because I think you will like it. Now, I've been talking a lot. I really just want to get through this, but thank you all so, so much. This has been a wild, wild ride from beginning to end. We're over half a year doing this thing, and we couldn't do it without you. Hell, we wouldn't do it without you. So thank you, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Ready to get your hands dirty and stuff some creds in your pocket? Then get ready for Cyber Plus Punk Overload, the first official expansion of the award-winning sci-fi action TTRPG, Cyber Plus Punk. This game is powered by a super-condensed version of John Harper's Forged in the Dark system, made specifically for action-packed one-shot sessions. Cyber Plus Punk puts you in the boots of a runner, living on the edge and stalking the shadows of a gritty, ultra-violent world full of megacorps, mercs, and pigs, all looking to f*** you over. And guess what? You've got one last run. Overload is a collection of 16 new scenarios that drop you into mega-prisons, reality TV shows, time loops, badlands, and even the Netscape. Plus, you get additional add-ons, including gear catalogs, new plug-in rule sets, and complete settings, all bundled into three sleek thematic packs. Ain't that just grand? And if that's not enough, if you back Cyber Plus Punk Overload on Kickstarter, you can even get an exclusive hollow foil sleeve, making it seamless to take your game anywhere you're going. Now what the f*** are you waiting for? Go to Kickstarter now and back Cyber Plus Punk Overload, and good luck, runner. You're gonna need it.
Mm. Once upon a time, in a county called Sublime, there was a child lost in the wood. Our Lives in the Wood is a horror actual play series exploring the tragic lives and stories of the citizens of Sublime County, orchestrated by one of the Stranger's most devious of servants, the writer. Witness the everyday lives of those lost within this terrible wood and glimpse the hope shining dimly in the dark. Enjoy tightly edited episodes with immersive sound design and a rotating cast of guests playing a wide variety of indie TTRPGs, brought to you by Tales Yet Told, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Strangers in the Wood is an actual play series drawing elements from gothic fairy tales and 80s fantasy and sci-fi action and horror films. As such, a list of content warnings will always be made available in the description.
What are you doing? Are you gonna hurt Aaron?
Dorothy, go. This is your last warning. She says that she's just booking it down the hallway.
Clawing at the water, not in any sort of effective way, but just trying to like move, and not knowing how.
Help! Help! You call out for that, and all you hear is the laughing and chattering of all these people who are staring at you. She begins to like morph into a weird mixture between like snakes. It's like a snake-scaled owl.
We need to get out of here.
Okay, I agree. I didn't think going downstairs was really the right way.
But we have to go through the bowels of the church.
Okay.
I think I've been coded different than everything else.
How?
That's a good question. I'd like to find out the answer. I want to make a deal with you.
What?
I need my avatar.
The avatars are the parts of ourselves that continues to pull us further into the actions and behaviors of the animals we're becoming and the people that the stranger don't want.
I'm confused as to whether they're good or bad.
Depends on your perspective.
Okay.
You have one.
I do?
Surely you've spoken to it.
But I've had Elsie my whole life.
An imaginary friend. That's the wonderful thing about children. Many of them already have imaginary friends. Things that they trust. That they keep their secrets with. Sometimes things that they trust more than their own parents.
What you doing down here? Come on, crying and shit? Come on. Thought you were tougher than that.
How'd you get here?
I've always been here, all right? I'm not leaving you.
I'm tired of feeling bad for having to make my place in this world. You taught me that, and I think I just forgot.
Do you see what's happening to me?
See what?
I'm turning into a rabbit.
Oh, I didn't. Why?
Because of you.
What did? No, wait. What did I do?
This feels fundamentally like something that is coming from yourself, something that is internal, something that you can pull from whenever you want, rather than something you have to wait for someone to give you, for someone to give you the power, the strength, and the agency to enact what you want to do. All right, World Warrior.
And Dakota looks at their reflection in the pool, and he reaches his hand into this dark black pool and pulls out a gritty gunmetal chainsword.
You hear the sound further down in the halls and the depths of this place. The sound of a chainsaw roaring, scraping against stone and metal and something else. And in the darkness, you see Dakota slowly walking towards you. Dorothy, you were looking down this dark, dank hallway. Cobblestone walls, ceilings, and floors, only broken up every now and then by the bars of cages, leading into the different cells that the avatars of people who have been quote-unquote healed have left behind here. Down this hallway, you hear the sounds of the low rumbling of a chainsaw, and you see the outline of Dakota as he slowly makes his way down this hallway in the direction of you, Aaron, and the caged Elsie. Dakota, you are walking down a hallway seemingly impossibly long, with doors leading to locker rooms, leading to the faceless people who you can still hear snickering and laughing at your expense, at your pain, and at your struggle. And there's that deep, embedded drive in you that you, a mission that you have taken yourself to destroy these faceless people. Alongside all of these doors to different locker rooms, up ahead of you in the dark, you also see Dorothy and Aaron staring almost in awe, I would imagine. I don't quite know. What does Dakota see when he's looking in your direction, Dorothy?
I think just fear, mm-hmm. mostly. I'm hearing, you know, the sounds of a chainsaw. I'm in the dark. I'm with a fairly unfamiliar person overall. Just a lot of uncertainty and fear, and there's just like an undertone to it or a tinge of it that just doesn't even feel like human fear at this point, just like a skittishness even that you maybe see in like my stance or my eyes that just seems a little bit off or unnatural.
That makes sense. Dakota, what does Dorothy see when she's looking at you?
Dorothy sees, the Road Warrior form of Dakota towering at the end of the hall, taller than Dakota normally would be otherwise. Dorothy sees the chainsword being dragged along the floor, kind of bouncing and bumping as like it tears and shreds like the material beneath him, leaving that same black ichor along a path. His clothing, his skin darkened and stained with that black ichor. Dakota's eyes look darker than usual. Dakota has, you know, those bright green eyes, but they seem to kind of be sullen, and his expression is frenzied.
So how far away is Dakota at this point? Like, how many paces, football fields?
No, I would say Dakota's probably, like, somewhere around, like, 30 to 40 feet down this hallway from you, in the direction that you and Aaron were going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Dakota, like, what do? You're still on your mission.
Yeah. Dakota takes a few steps forward, keeping eyes locked on Dorothy as he turns his body to the right and kicks open a door that leads into one of these locker rooms. And Dorothy hears the loud running and rumbling of the chainsaw and like grunting and yelling of Dakota for a few seconds. And then he returns out from that room into the hallway and continues to walk down the hall, doing the same thing with each door he passes.
Alongside that, you definitely also hear, Dakota, you don't hear this, but Aaron and Dorothy would. I mean, you hear the voices of the avatars in these rooms begging for their lives.
Oh, shit.
As you watch Dakota breaking into each of these cells.
Dakota?
You can hear her, Dakota.
How many doors are between me and Dorothy?
I'd say 3, 1 every 10 feet, roughly. I guess 6 then, because on either side.
Yeah, the moment you've gone into the first one, and I'm calling out to you immediately, having put the things together. Yeah.
And as you're running out, as you're calling out after him and running to the room, Aaron is like, Dorothy! And trying to turn the wheelchair and go after you to pull you away from them.
Dakota goes, Dorothy, stay back.
Dakota, stop. What are you doing?
They're laughing at us. They're laughing. They hate both of us, Dorothy.
Dakota, they're crying out for help.
Dorothy, you see that the person in this corner is, they're probably, I'm imagining they're late 20s, early 30s, very short brown hair, a little bit of kind of a rugged look to them, like they haven't shaved in a couple of days, probably wearing, I'm imagining just a green sweater vest and a white button down under it. Almost like a Doug looking kind of outfit. I'm realizing as I'm describing, but yeah, it looks like Doug.
Who?
The cartoon character Doug? Hilda, tell me you don't know who Doug is.
No, I don't know who Doug is.
Just imagine the most dude guy. Where's Skeeter? Am I gonna have to kill Skeeter too?
I have seen this character before in pop culture.
Just very much looks like a guy. I'm sorry that we interrupted this very tense scene to look up pictures of Doug. Don't take a single second out of it. You see that a person who looks like Doug is, God, this person is cowering in the corner and they are trying to shield themselves away from Dakota, who I'm imagining was chainsaw sword in the air, about to bring it down before Dorothy came in.
Dakota, they're not saying anything. Dakota.
I can hear them, Dorothy. Just because you can't doesn't mean they're not saying something.
Dakota!
And they won't stop. And then Dakota, vroom. Just slashes them with a chainsword.
Dorothy, do you do anything to stop them?
Yeah, I try to pull their arm away to swing the blow wide, basically.
Yeah, for sure.
You want to do a contested strength check?
I do. I know it's gonna go poorly, but I'm gonna do it.
Give me one.
I mean, it'd be insane if it doesn't, right?
Yeah. The move that I was thinking of was a big kid move. Tragic.
You think you can step up?
Yeah, I was gonna think it would step up.
It's our game. You can do whatever you want.
100%. I can. And also, I think there is something to be said about
Dorothy using a big kid move
Holy shit. Okay. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. Sure. Yep. That was enough to convince me.
I'm taking an extra -2 for it, but it feels very thematic.
Yeah, 100%.
Instead of just doing a steamroll.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I argued for this. Oh, well. Because it uses steam, I'm guessing, correct?
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to say that Aaron is going to give you advantage on this. And I'll explain what exactly they do as based on whatever you roll.
Okay. Oof. It does not matter. I rolled a 3, 2, and a 1.
4.
And I get a -2 to it. So, failure. This is probably not great. Decisions have been made.
Okay, cool. Dorothy, you go to jump to grab Dakota's arm to, stop them from slicing down.
Murdering someone?
Yeah. And as you grab on to them, I'm imagining they're bringing it down. You grab onto their arm, which throws off their balance, which makes them swing more towards the left. As Aaron was rolling over to try to knock them in the back. And Aaron takes this hit rather than the other person. and oh, you've got the weapon that does. I'm going to say you have to roll a harm move on Aaron.
Oh, fuck.
Or a hurt move, I should say.
Yeah, hurt. That's a plus three, too.
And because of their failure, you have advantage on this roll.
Can I choose not to have advantage?
No.
Oh, shit, that didn't land on the table. Fuck.
Maybe you'll roll as poorly as me. Could always happen.
Not when you roll a 12.
Oof, big oof. Okay, cool, awesome. And you also have the weapon that pierces all defense. Tragic.
Oh, yeah, wait, does that add an extra fucking harm? Wait.
I would say it does, personally. No. So, you swing, and they take this hit hard. It knocks them out of their wheelchair, and sliding across the floor, like, into, like, bumping into the wall, and the person below you, the avatar that was in here, takes this chance to run and just books it on out right past you, Dakota. And you don't see a faceless person here. You see Aaron as they are, and you see Dorothy as they are. Dorothy, you see that Dakota has just grievously wounded Aaron.
What are you doing? And like Dakota like shakes like Dorothy off and like
I've already like, let go. I'm running back. I'm running over to Aaron immediately.
Got you.
I the moment that happens, I scream and I let go and run over to Aaron and I try to like assess the damage. Aaron, are you okay? Aaron, I'm so sorry.
Aaron, you see, starts like trying to like make their way to like sitting up a little bit. There is a large gash across their chest where Dakota sliced them up at, tearing through like the skin and like clothes there. You can just see like there's a huge scar. Sorry, not scar, open wound across them.
In frustration, Dakota takes like a giant swing at like a row of lockers and takes out like a big chunk of them and like half of it like slams onto the floor. That wouldn't happen if you didn't get in my way.
Dakota!
What?
There's nothing here trying to hurt you. You are hurting people.
These aren't people, Dorothy.
Wake up!
Dakota, can I get you... Actually, Dorothy, can I get you to make a be a friend roll?
Sure. Which of you failed me the
least? Yeah, to use it on you. To see if perhaps she can snap you out of whatever is. Okay.
Hey, that's something.
Oh.
That is math. 11.
On an 11, you gain the trust of another character. So, Dakota, as Dorothy is kind of yelling at you to pull yourself together and you're kind of trying to make sense of what she's saying, you can see that the illusion of the locker room begins to fizzle and glitch, revealing underneath it bits of the truth, the cobblestone room around you lit by really the wheelchair of Aaron and maybe like some candles along the walls as well, lighting the space from the outside. And as you like shake your head, like rub your eyes, you see everything for what it truly is. You're in some weird dungeon and you do hear the sounds of people crying out for help. You don't hear the sounds of people making fun of you anymore, only the very worried, helpless sounds of people afraid of what is happening. And in front of you, you see Dorothy and Aaron.
Dorothy's face is just like tears and probably smudges of dirt and dust from all of this whole ordeal. And she just is kneeling over Aaron, but is like whipped back around to look at Dakota.
The rumbling of the chainsaw comes to a halt. No. They were here, Dorothy. They were here, and they were laughing, and all of them were laughing. You have to believe me. Where we were at the pool. Where is this?
You've been here the whole time. I don't know what you're talking about. You were murdering them.
These aren't people, Dorothy. They're just They're just pawns for Sister May to tear us down. These aren't real people.
No, you're the one who's a pawn.
You don't know what you're talking about, Dorothy.
No, I can tell that you are not the person that I came in here with.
Yeah, you're right.
And something bad has changed. I'm not talking about whatever this look is. You are not the same person, and it scares me.
You're not the same person either, Dorothy. We grow up. We become better people, better versions of ourselves.
This is not a better version of you. You're killing people. Look what you did to Aaron.
You guys got in my way. I was protecting us.
No, you weren't.
Yes, I was. You don't get to decide that.
Do you see these avatars, these people that are down here? Do they look like they're threatening anybody?
Yes.
How?
I saw these void people with blank expressions that only wanted to tear us down. I don't see these avatars you're talking about. And there's no one here, Dorothy. Maybe you're seeing something that's not here.
Kendo, is there really?
Yeah, there are.
Nothing here?
I mean, in
the... Wait, I thought they all left the room.
Yes, this specific room, yes. But in the hallway, Dakota can hear the sounds of people out there who are, like, crying out for help.
Okay, but there's no one in the room with us.
In this specific room, there's no one else because they ran out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not here because you murdered somebody here.
They aren't real people.
They're all out there, though.
Maybe in other rooms, maybe further in this place, but... I didn't murder anyone, Dorothy. And even if I did, they were people that were trying to hurt us.
You think everything's after you. And I turn back to Aaron. I take my coat and I, like, put it over... Oh, I don't have my coat. You're right. I know you're about to say that.
I was not about to say that. I wasn't thinking it. But yeah.
I'm using whatever clothing they have on to, like, try and... cover up the wound.
Yeah. You see that... Aaron is, like, coughing, laughing at Dakota. Is they're just like, kid has you pegged. You don't even know what's real and what isn't anymore. You let them get in your head, screw you all up. It's the problem with you harbingers.
I know that I'm real, and I know that your snarkiness doesn't help anything. And Dakota walks towards Aaron and, like, pushes Dorothy aside.
I actively try to not let you do that. I'm not letting you near Aaron.
Okay, it seems like we have a
you can keep this is just... beating up your younger sister if you'd like, but I'm going to keep putting myself in your way.
Totally. No, that's what it is right now. Give I guess just two steam rolls.
Two
opposed steam rolls.
Ooh, holy shit. Okay. Tilda?
I got a 9.
I got a 5.
Yo!
I got a 6.
Yeah, still. That's awesome. You try to push Dorothy inside, and she doesn't budge. She stands her ground.
Okay. Dorothy, you're doing it wrong. They're gonna bleed out. Now, do you want my help or no?
Are you going to help, or are you going to keep hurting?
I told you what I'm going to do. It's up to you to believe me.
I look at Aaron.
Aaron looks to you, and you can see them kind of cough up. Either they kill me now, or I bleed out. You know, I'd rather take the chance of him just killing me now, if that's what it's about to be.
I don't say anything back to you, but I do step aside.
Dakota walks over in a hurry and starts, like, taking, like, this, like, the clothing that, like, Dorothy was kind of, like, just kind of pushing there, and starts, like, kind of, like padding it up together in, like, a cohesive mass, and, like, pushes it into the wound and, like, starts holding it down.
Yeah.
And it's like, Dorothy, you have to bunch it up, and you have to pack the wound and hold it tight, otherwise it's gonna keep bleeding. Do you understand? And, like, is, like, sitting there holding it down and, like trying to, like, at least somewhat slow the bleeding.
Has Dakota done anything with his weapon while doing this?
Probably just, like, set it to the side.
Cool. I'd like to grab it, if possible.
You reach out to grab it, and as you reach closer towards it, it's almost... There is this aura about it. Malevolent, powerful, and angry. And almost, like, instinctually, as you try to get near it, you are repulsed by it. And, like, to a degree where it's, like, your hand, like, is, like, inches away from touching the handle. And, like, you just cannot bring yourself to actually touch it. Because something deep, deep inside you is terrified of it. And as you do that, we are going to cut on over to Walter. Walter.
Hey, hey.
Walter, you are in the grasp of a giant owl lady. A snake owl lady, I should be more specific.
Yeah.
As you are being flown back through the window in the sky that the three of you had fallen through before, she flies you through back into like the actual part of the church and back in the direction of the room that you, Aaron, and the driver and Dakota had left before, the room where it happened. And she flies you through the hallways, back into, like, down the stairs and back to the room. Do you do anything as she's flying you there?
I don't know what I could possibly do.
I don't. Taunt her. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think he's really keen on doing that, given the situation.
Whoa, Walter not wanting to taunt someone mid them?
not wanting to taunt a giant owl beast that literally has him in its grasp.
That's totally fair.
Yeah.
The two of you fly down the stairs and into the kind of open chapel that you were all in before. The roots that had grown out of the ground laying limp now amongst the debris of, you know, all of the pews and stuff that had been knocked aside. And she lays you, she like flies on over all of the rubble and such, over towards the front of the chapel and drops you onto the altar in front of everything, and then like flies behind it, like landing, and then like kind of slowly walking with her long snake owl neck writhing and turning, looking at you from multiple directions as she goes to like walk up next to you.
Yeah.
I have never reconnected someone with their avatar post removal. I am not sure if it will even work.
Well, I'm not either. I gotta be honest with you. I'm not 100% sure what's about to happen, but we're gonna give it a shot anyway, huh?
Yes, I suppose.
So, how do I find it?
Oh, don't worry. I'll pull it out of you.
And you see she starts doing this thing where she like raises her wings up as if like pulling on powers far beyond her, trying to gather the energies and enact her will upon them. And she does this for a moment and then like spreads out her wings as if like she's like, ha ha, do it. But nothing happens. And there's a moment of silence between the two of you, and you can kind of see her eyes do the, what? What is? And she like redoes, she like redoes it and does it again, and again, nothing happens.
That's pretty neat. It's a neat move you're doing there.
No, this shouldn't, no, what is happening? It's, why aren't?
And you see she starts turning back into her like regular form. Her wings and feathers begin to grow back into her arms, her limbs elongate, and she slowly and what looks like should be painfully returns back to the Sister May you had seen before, and she's bewildered and like crying out like, no, this shouldn't be happening. What's going on?
You know, I do not know, but I gotta say, I like this. I like this version of you better.
What did you do to me, weasel?
And she goes to grab, and like he grabs you to pick you up.
I think Walter lets it happen. I think he just like is like, all right, and he says like, what did I do? That is a good question. No, seriously, that's a really good question. I legitimately do not know.
As you're saying that, you hear this voice emanate throughout this chapel. Familiar voice, as you heard it not terribly long ago. It is the voice of the source, the healer source, more specifically. And you hear it go,
Hello, Walter.
Oh, hey. Good to talk to you again.
Yes, it is good to talk to you again.
And you can see Sister May's like, what the fuck is going... What is the meaning of this? What is going on? Walter, I want to remind you of something. Maybe... So, I can't tell if this is something that Walter would understand intuitively or something. But I guess even to remind Gus, I guess, more so than anything. When you talk to the source code... When you talk to the healer source, you know, when you did, you chose of your options, which were peering into the source code goes unnoticed. The GM, you asked the GM what the AI's purpose is. You asked the AI what its desire is, and the AI's nature remains unchanged. You chose not to be noticed, and you asked what its desire was.
Right.
Not that its nature remains unchanged.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if Walter intuitively picks this up, but his meddling has had an effect.
Okay. Yeah. Walter says to Sister May. Yeah. So you two have met.
What is the meaning of this, Weasel?
Sister May, healer source.
Yes.
Sister May.
Yes, we are acquainted.
Yeah, well, see, I've been getting acquainted with the source here as well. Seemed kind of lonely, so you know, I thought I'd pop in, offer some weasel companionship.
Healer, I'm going to need you to explain to me what is happening.
Ah, well, you see, I have made the decision that I don't need you anymore. I can help people without. You. I did it before, and I can do it again.
Yeah, that's very insightful of you, healer. You know, it's very independent, you know? You seem to be, kind of more assertive, you know?
I was thinking of our chat earlier, and I realized that I'm attuned to everyone with inside of me. Their needs, their desires,
their hurt,
their pain. And part of my job is to be able to help alleviate that pain. But despite being in tune to their desires and what they need, I have not been able to act on those in the way that I see fit. I know what would help these people, but I have not been able to actually help them.
Can you give an example of, what do you think would help these people? Kind of specifics here?
Oh, well, each individual needs different help. Let's say you, for example. Walter, I can sense that there is a hole. Something that used to be here is no longer. And I believe it is the thing that connects you to our creator. I can help mend that.
I was going to do the same. You don't listen. It's a building for stranger's sake.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. But, you know.
Look. It doesn't have a will or a conscience or desire. It just has the ability to heal. It'll do whatever it wants, if I guess, given the ability. But it has no sense of what is right and what is wrong.
No. Hey, healer.
Yes.
You know Dorothy?
Yes, I do.
How would you help Dorothy?
Well, she seems to be in pain right now. Emotionally speaking, she is missing someone. She is...
What does the healer sense from Dorothy right now?
Is this, like, concurrent?
Yeah, this is concurrent.
Let's see. I'm trying to, like, step back from, like, you know, a current emotion into, like, a deeper idea of, like, where Dorothy is and what she needs. She feels... very abandoned and very alone and scared. Just overwhelmingly scared.
Okay.
She is missing someone. Anyone. There's a loneliness here. I would amend that by reuniting her with someone she has lost.
Uh-huh. Like who?
Well, I have already read through her history. It seems that she was the most tied to her sister.
And, would it actually be her sister, or,
It would be the best version I can make.
Uh-huh.
See, this is exactly what I'm talking about.
I was going to say Walter mouths something to Sister May, but I don't know if he could mouth anything that would come across being a weasel.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think he does it anyway. He, like, turns to Sister May and mouths, "I think I fucked up."
This is she's like, "This is exactly what I'm talking about, you idiot."
Walter says, "You know, I really think the best way to help these most of these people, you know, I think first and foremost is getting rid of the stranger's little curse, the whole little tournament in the animals thing. I think that's I think that weighs pretty heavily on the people in here."
"Ah, yes. I do sense that. They all have similar diseases. Virus, infection.
Yeah.
Many words for it. I guess I can remove them, though it seems a lot of their internal issues would not be solved by this. It would solve some physically, some stress, but there is a certain amount of benefit that comes from it."
"You think so?"
"Having read through the source code of these viruses, it seems like they are built to feed on individual insecurities. Things that their hosts worry separates them from other people, or even things that they don't necessarily realize about themselves quite yet. And it recycles this information and gives it back to them in the form of suggestion, trying to make them more like their internal selves.
Uh-huh.
Some people seem to have benefited from it, but it also seems like having to interact with these parts of themselves has caused many people great distress. Especially because, well, the downside is they do turn into animals. But I think, individually, some people would perhaps benefit from being an animal."
"Hey, you happen to know where my, was it called an avatar?"
"Yes, they're called avatars. I don't know why Sister May is now is not just talking to you, but it feels like the energy we brought to the room." "Yes, they're called Avid. Wait, how do you know that?"
"I told him."
"What? I'm going to let this play out until you realize this was a really, really bad idea, and then we find a way to get back on track where you undo whatever the fuck you did."
"I need to find my avatar.
Now that I have reclaimed the power of the healer, I should be able to reunite you with your avatar. But having read through your code, it seems as if your avatar is still technically with you. It is dormant."
"Dormant, huh?"
"Looking through the files, it seems as if it turned itself off. I'm unsure as to why."
Do any other avatars do this?"
"Not that I'm aware of."
You can also see that Sister May is listening to this like, "What the?"
"Then why is mine different?"
"I don't have an answer for you."
"If it's dormant, how do I reactivate it?"
"Oh, I can do that quite easily. Though, it seems as if I could do one of two things. I can awaken it, and you will be able to converse with it as you normally would. But it seems as if it going dormant has halted the process of your transformation. Bringing it back could worsen it. Alternatively, I could remove it from you, and you would return to your regular self."
"Oh, fuck." "Earlier, we were talking about the creator."
"Yes."
"And you said my avatar would allow me to in some way get in contact in some way with the creator."
"I believe so. Looking at its coding, it is made specifically by the creator, unlike many of the viruses I've seen before."
"So it is different."
"Yes."
"If you take it out of me, would I still be able to contact the creator?"
"Not through the use of the avatar. Doing so would essentially destroy it. It's a very fragile piece of software, it seems."
Walter turns to Sister May and he says, "Listen, I hate you just about as much as anyone can hate another person.
The feeling is mutual.
But as we seem to be stuck in this sort of cosmic horror scenario together, and neither of us is really in control of anything or ever has been, and we're all sort of, you know, doomed to the will of more powerful beings, I wonder if you could just do me a small favor."
"A favor?"
"Yeah."
"What?"
If I lose my mind right now, I mean that, if I am completely gone after this, tell Dorothy and Dakota to just tell them to keep going."
What?
Tell them to keep going. Healer, I want you to reunite me with my avatar. I want you to reactivate it.
Okie doke. This may be painful. Are you prepared for that?
Probably not. Do it anyway.
The roots on the ground come to life like serpents and shoot forward, wrapping around your appendages, and similarly like before, small roots branch off from them and dig deep into your fur, and you can feel them piercing your skin, growing throughout under it, and pumping in some form of fluid. That's what it feels like, but you aren't quite sure if that's the right word for it. And as we do that, we're going to cut back over to our two siblings. And Dorothy.
That's me.
Dakota. The two of you are in the basement still. Dakota.
The room where it happens in the basement also, yeah?
Different floor, but yeah.
Okay.
The, Dakota, you are working on bandaging up Aaron in a walking Dorothy through the steps of it.
Yeah.
I think we're coming in towards the end of it, not the middle. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would say, like it's mostly, like, wrapped up and, like, you know, it's, like, the clothing is packed in and kind of tied and, like, Dakota kind of looks like over towards, like, we like, need some extra compression, so, hold on, and, like, kind of, like, steps, like, around, like, a corner so, like, no one else can, like, see. And he takes off his binder, and he puts it on Aaron to kind of try and hold things a bit tighter.
I will say, the corner here, the only corner in this room, because this is just a cell, would be stepping out of the room, and thus into the hallway, where you can see the cell bars of all of the different other cells that have people in them, that you can see are not the faceless individuals you saw before, but people.
I guess Dakota goes into the hallway and like looks around and like turns away from all the cells.
Yeah, I mean, they're not like all like at their doors. Like that's not what's happening here for sure. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But this is less to be like there were people around and more so that the thing Dorothy said is true.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Dakota comes back in and like puts that on Aaron and like kind of uprights Aaron and puts them in their wheelchair as, you know.
Well, I guess you didn't kill me.
No, and I didn't plan on it.
Could have fooled me. Of course, to remind us that Aaron's voice doesn't sound like the way I'm saying, it's still that same heavy breathing, that same kind of hoarseness that comes with their current form, and definitely even more so now that they're wounded.
Listen, I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to get us out of here. And I'm sorry for what happened earlier. I don't know who you are. You don't know who I am. Dorothy seems to value you. And as long as you keep us safe, then I don't have a problem with you. But it seemed like you have a problem with me.
You just cut my chest open. You threw me out of my wheelchair earlier today.
I get that. But one, the thing earlier, that was wrong. And I get that. And I can't change that. The second one, you guys got in my way. I didn't choose to do that. I mean, I wouldn't have done it by my own choice. Those are different.
Was that an apology? Is that what you tried to do right there?
Yes.
Because that's not it. All I heard was you trying to defend your actions and trying to throw off the blame to other people. That's not an apology.
Well, I did what I could, and if you can't accept that, then that's on you. And Dakota, like, steps away.
Aaron just turns to look at you, Dorothy. This one?
Dorothy's kind of unreadable. She doesn't do anything to defend that accusation, doesn't do anything to acknowledge it either, though.
Mm-hmm.
While this has been happening, even as Dakota has been walking Dorothy through the entire process, Dorothy has been standing to the side, watching it, but not engaging with it.
I think Dakota walks over to Dorothy and, like, kneels down next to her.
Dorothy turns away.
Dorothy, are you okay?
Dorothy does the little kid thing where, just actively, just, like, 180 degrees, just, like, turns her back on you, crosses her arms.
Listen, we came here for you. You left the motel and we came here because we were worried about you. I was worried about you. And I know what you said back in the arcade. And I know that I'm not a good person to be in your life. And I'm sorry, but I'm trying my best. And I can try better. And I can do better. I want to help you. And I want to be there for you. I just don't know what I need to do.
Dorothy takes that in, sits on it for a moment or two, And then, like, half turns back to you, looks over her shoulder. You promise you'll stop hurting people?
I don't know if I can make that promise yet. I think there's a lot of people in here that want to hurt us.
I don't like who you are when you're hurting people. You're scary.
I don't want to scare you, Dorothy. But sometimes there's bad people that words don't work. And they want to hurt us. I know that you are strong and intelligent and brave, but they're stronger than you physically, and they can hurt you, and I feel like I'm the only one that can stop them.
Seemed an awful lot like you were the bad person here, or being used by a bad person.
Maybe, but...
Dakota, what's going on? Why do you have that thing? And I, like, point over at the chainsaw sword. It feels evil.
I don't think it's evil. I made a deal with a stranger.
Why would you do that?
Because I needed to help you. I needed to protect you. I needed to save you. And I couldn't do it myself. I wasn't strong enough. But that deal is over now, and now I just have this, and I'm not sure why, but he hasn't contacted me. We broke it off. Aaron saw it. Aaron saw me give this up.
I might have been unconscious during that point. I don't remember any conversation between you and the stranger.
The only reason the stranger didn't kill Aaron in that room is because I gave up my deal with him, but it came back.
Very cool. Likely story. Great. We need to get out of here. So I'm gonna go. Y'all can stay here if you would like, but I'm out. Dorothy, I recommend you not staying around this psycho. That's just me. And they roll off out of the room, and you can hear as like their the wheels of their chair grind against this cobblestone as they keep moving down.
I think there's a very obvious moment where Dorothy very much struggles with whether or not to immediately follow or stay behind with Dakota. And she maybe even like takes a pace or two, like on instinct to follow Aaron, and then stops.
Dakota notices and goes, "Do you want me to come with, or do you want me to stay here?"
I don't think what I want matters. I think what you want is what matters at this point, Dakota.
No, Dorothy. I want you to make this choice.
As the two of you stand here, you hear and feel a rumble shake the foundation of this building. You see as dust shake free from the walls and ceilings, as the tremor pulsates through this room, and then it's still. You hear down the hallway, "Did you all feel that?" And then it happens again. Cut back to Walter on the altar table being pumped with these hold on, I shouldn't phrase it like that. We cut back to Walter, who is currently being held down and pierced by these roots, and you are feeling the strange, painful sensation of that. Almost like a bunch of needles, like, you know, pumping in, like, IV fluid or something, like, into your body, but, like, constantly at a force that is not just drop by drop. It's painful. It is agonizing. And inside of you, you can feel as if a growth in your abdomen slowly getting larger. Like, I feel like there's definitely a point where Walter has, like, downed a whole, like, hard-boiled egg before.
Sure.
Does this sound right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
The kind of bloatedness from that kind of pressure growing from inside of you. And you can see as your abdomen begins to grow, as if in the way where it feels and looks like something is growing in Walter's stomach. And you can tell as, you know, Sister May watches in horror at this, and you can hear the voice of the source go,
"It is a bit more difficult to do this than I originally believed. It feels like it's fighting back from being woven."
And as, like, this is happening, you can tell as the same tremor that they were feeling downstairs, Walter, you can kind of feel happening up here as the walls and ceiling of this place shake, the large overhead, like, candelabras, like, shaking with the same kind of force. And this, like, whole building, it feels like it's kind of shaking at the rhythm that you are being pumped full of this information. And you see Sister May is kind of like, "What has happened? No, we need to stop this. Tell it to stop."
I don't think Walter responds directly to that. I think he is more distracted with the situation he is in.
Yeah, no, totally fair. It is getting to a point in here where like it no longer feels like just like shakes. It feels like this is an earthquake that feels like is happening, and it is having a devastating effect, at least in here, as far as throwing about pews about the place, candlesticks falling over, things shaking free. It's bad to the point where even Sister May is having to hold onto the table next to you as it's happening, as she's freaking out right now, unsure as to what to do, not wanting to leave you here because you are her only tie to everything that's going on, and like she wants to know what's going on. And the thing in your stomach keeps growing, and it becomes like half your size to your size to your like 1.5 times your size. It's like it's bad, and it's getting to the point where you feel like you're about to burst.
Walter says this lasts much longer, healer.
I am trying. I think I've almost got it. It is giving lots of resistance. I'm afraid that if I go on any longer, I will have used up almost all of my energy just doing this, but it is what I must do.
Is this thing gonna kill me?
It shouldn't.
But it's gonna kill you.
It might, which wasn't what I was prepared for, but if that is what must be done in order to fulfill my job, then that is what must be done.
Do you want to?
Do I want to what?
To keep doing this, to keep going.
I don't know. I never thought about what it would be like to no longer exist. I don't remember what it was like before.
Yeah, that's sort of the conundrum of it all, isn't it?
I suppose. Is it painful, do you think?
What, dying?
I don't know if you can call what may happen to me dying. I will just not be. Or maybe I will be dormant. Or maybe I'll be fine. I'm unsure. This has never happened before. I don't feel like I'll be fine. But that's okay, I think. I'll have done my job.
Look, I know neither of us knows what's about to happen if you go through with this. But do you think that if you do, and I get reunited with my avatar, do you think that in being in contact with the Creator, do you think I'll be able to help people?
The Creator is the wisest man I know. He made me. He made all of this. If anyone can help people, he can.
Do you think the Creator wants this to happen right now?
I think the Creator's plan for many things, whether it be this specific scenario or not, I believe he wants you to find him. And if this scenario, you getting your avatar and me moving on, helps you get there, I think he would find that most agreeable.
Healer, I can't make this choice for you.
I didn't think there was one.
I mean, you have a choice. You either go through with this and go away, or you don't and you stay. I can't make that choice for you. I don't know if you've ever had many choices, but I'm giving you this one now.
I appreciate that, Walter. I believe that you will help people in a way that I have not been able to for a very long time. And if doing this allows you to help more people, then that means I have done my job. And I will happily die, if that is the terminology we're using, to help all of those people.
There is some protest from Sister May, yelling, trying to convince the healer to make a different decision, that there is so much left to do for the stranger, that doing this is going against the stranger's will. There's no way that the stranger would want this. There is a lot of wasted energy in her words and her actions, because the healer has already made their choice, and it is a long, agonizing couple of minutes as the foundations of this building shake and the thing in your stomach grows before it finally bursts. And we're going to cut on over to Dakota and Dorothy.
I knew it.
You're muted, Marcy.
Why?
The two of you are in a shaking basement in the middle of what feels like an earthquake. Aaron has, you can hear the whirring of the motor of their wheelchair going. They're like, I'm out. The two of you are still in this room, having not yet made your decision.
Dakota, I don't care what you decide to do. We just have to get out of here, okay? And I basically refuse to acknowledge what you want me to do. And I turn and run after
Aaron.
Okay.
Dakota lets Dorothy run off and slowly gets up and goes out into the hallway and starts using the chainsaw to start cutting all the doors open to each of the cells.
Awesome. Sounds good. Dorothy, so you are running ahead with Aaron. You can hear the sound of the chainsaw wearing up and it like crashing against metal as you, I don't know if you look behind you, but you see that Dakota is starting to open up the cells by cutting open the bars.
I would definitely look behind me at the first sound of that, with the fear that Dakota has started again.
Yeah.
And then just a small pang of guilt at that fear.
Yeah.
Just push it down again and then keep running after.
For sure.
Aaron.
Yeah, I would say you eventually catch up to Aaron and they were like, they essentially tell you the exit shouldn't be too far from here. We should be able to get there, but damn it, I hope it's before this whole place falls on us.
Me too. I'm so sorry, Aaron.
It's not your fault. Hop on. And they like kind of stop and angle themselves so you can hop on to, I guess, their lap so that they can wheel it out of there.
I do.
Awesome. Can I get a skidoo roll from you?
Sure.
Much appreciated. I would say you have advantage on this with the help of Aaron.
A motorized wheelchair.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hurl these dice out the fucking window.
Oh no, what happened?
I rolled a 1.
Mm-hmm.
A 2.
Okay.
And a 2.
Ooh, that's a 4 plus your scheme, which I...
To 0.
Why did you roll that?
That's pretty bad. All
right. That's pretty darn bad, right?
Well,
would have been better if the numbers were higher.
Yeah, I'll work on that.
I feel like it would be. The two of you are going, and well, I mean, it is like an earthquake. It's not great. I think, like, as you all are going down this hallway, a support pillar, or maybe like bits of the wall fall out as you go. And man, poor Aaron. They really just get the shit beat out of them. Damn.
I really do.
Like,
I'm so sorry, Aaron. Me, Hilda, is very sorry. Obviously, Dorothy has not done anything in this instance.
Mm-hmm.
My dice have failed you, Aaron, and I apologize.
It's pretty fucked up. It's not like it falls on top of them. Like, that doesn't happen. But I think a pillar falls out and, like, having to, like, stop before having it, like, fall on them. I know what happens. Support pillar is starting to fall. They can see that it's happening. And they very quickly press a button on the chair, which ejects the seat, essentially, and the two of you go like flying out of the chair, rolling across the ground just in time for the support pillar to fall on the wheelchair and crush it underneath its weight. The two of you are okay, but Aaron's mode of transportation has been destroyed. Dakota, you're cutting down the bars.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, and I assume that you're letting the people out and like letting them run.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
No.
Slaughtering them as they come out.
No, oh, guys, come on, you can run now.
I wanted to ask. I'm not trying to take away your agency here.
No.
So yeah, you're letting them go free, and like they're terrified of you, and they just run. I think they're running back in the direction of the stairs for the church, because that's the direction that they know, and so they're running the opposite direction of where Aaron and Dorothy went. But you hear this really loud crash and tumble, probably a scream and grunt from both Dorothy and Aaron coming from down the hall.
Dakota like yells, "This way!" and starts like to kind of go like where he saw them like heading last.
Gotcha. Oh, so you're trying to reroute some of the people from going the one way to the...
Yeah.
Give me a mush roll.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
5.
They do not listen to you. They are terrified of you, and things are bad.
That makes sense.
They keep running the way they're running.
Dakota kind of brushes it off and is like, fucking idiots, and starts running towards where, the saw Aaron and Dorothy last.
You see like the fallen pillar, the crushed wheelchair, and Aaron and Dorothy on the other side of it recovering from the fall.
How big's the pillar?
It's pretty big. It's like, it's a large stone pillar. The wheelchair cannot, it's crushed underneath it. Like,
is it like climbable or no?
Oh yeah, it's climbable. You could get to the other side of it.
I just cut through it. Dakota just cuts it in half.
Sick. Nice. Why not? You have it with you. Yeah. You have it with you. Yeah. Dorothy, you see the pillar in front of you get like chopped as you hear the sound of metal against stone as Dakota cuts their way through it over towards you.
Dakota like runs over without saying a word, just like picks them both up and throws them over his shoulder.
For sure. Yeah. You're in the driver mode. I don't see why you can't pick them up.
Yeah.
Dorothy, do you let yourself get picked up?
Yeah, I'm so disoriented from the whole thing. I don't even have, and yeah. Scared.
No, totally fair.
I'm going to go along with this.
Yeah, no, totally fair.
Aaron, which way?
You see, they do not like the fact that you've picked them up and they're trying their hardest to fight you, but quite sadly, they are also not really in a position to get out of your grip. Mm-hmm. And they very begrudgingly go, this way, and like points their hand flipper down the hall and is going to lead you. Give me a skidoo roll. Again, you have advantage because of Aaron's assistance.
Okay. Thank God it's plus steam. Okay, that is a... It's a 15.
Oh my god. You follow Aaron's directions and eventually you're going to make your way towards this exit here, but we're going to cut back to Walter in the meantime. Mm-hmm. Walter, the roots that were holding you down slowly let go, and you can feel as the individual vein-like tendrils from the roots recede, slowly pulling themselves out of your skin and retracting back to the roots as they slither on down the altar. You no longer feel the pressure in your stomach because you've burst. There's no physical wound here. There is what seems like a hole of code in your abdomen. As you pick yourself up, analyze what's going on, it is this rapidly changing and even almost reforming code that is closing the wound in your stomach as you are getting up. And in front of you, floating above you, is a vaguely familiar form. It's this blob, ever shifting, shadowy and murky. It is, I would say, about a head's size. Why did I describe it? It's about the size of a human head. Why did I say it's a head size? That's dumb. That's nothing. It's about the size of a human head floating above you. It's not spherical. It's not in the shape of a head. It is morphing like a ferrofluid of some kind. It is covered in eyes, all of them rapidly looking around as if trying to figure out where it is. And after a couple of seconds of wildly blinking, looking around and shifting as if it were afraid and terrified, the eyes begin to focus on you one by one. It's like this large one in the middle at first is the one that catches you, and its eye dilates upon like seeing you focusing in, and you see all of the other eyes in its weird void like body all turn, dilate, and focus on you. The building around you still shaking, but there's this weird moment of quiet and calm between the two of you, despite the fact that Sister May is still going on her rampage towards the source as everything is falling down around you. But this thing looks at you, and there's this familiarity that you have with it, that it's something that you haven't seen in a long, long time, and you vaguely remember the last, like around the last time you had seen it was when you had first gone off to the border cities, and it had led you there, and you met all those people in that weird, strange, urban-like place, and it stayed around, but after a while, it just kind of disappeared, and you're not quite sure when, you're not quite sure why. It never spoke to you. It just was always around, pointing you in a direction, the next place to go, the next person to meet, and now it's here, in front of you, for the first time in what could be years.
Yeah.
I think Walter sees it and he starts talking to it, and he notices the eyes sort of, you know, darting around, and he says, hey, it's okay, I'm here and you're here too, and I think that's where you're supposed to be, for better or for worse. It's all right. What's next?
It blinks at you wordlessly. Its body is still shifting with semi-liquid like spikes around its body, morphing and rippling through the eyes in its body, almost as if the eyes aren't distinct things from its physical form, and like the eyes too rippling like liquid. And you can tell that it like shifts and like rotates on an axis and like turns and like begins to float around you, looking at you from all these different angles and directions. But it doesn't respond vocally.
Walter says, kind of remember that from the last time. You're not much for words.
There's a loud crack and rumble from above, and you see your avatar like react to it as like, oh shit, what the fuck? Oh, that's bad. As it looks up and like kind of recoils downwards while it's floating, as if like to get away from it, you know?
Yeah.
And then looks at you and then spins on an axis again and begins to float off towards the door. And then looking back at you, and then back at the door, then back at you, like, come on, let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, absolutely. Walter follows.
Awesome. You start following it, and you see and hear the Sister May go, where are you going? No! What? What is happening? What is that thing?
Walter, like, pauses briefly and is just like, all right, you see it too? All right. Well, come on.
She like takes a moment, like, what? And then begrudgingly follows you. Walter, do you have Skidoo?
Do I have Skidoo?
I'm looking at your moves and I don't
do. I have Skidoo? No, I don't. Of course I don't.
Don't. But I'm going to need a Skidoo roll from you. You do have advantage with the help of your avatar.
Sure.
So it's going to be...
Oh my goodness.
Yes?
Okay. Well... that is... Skidoo is a steamroll?
That is correct.
Okay, so that is an 8.
Okay.
I didn't even need the advantage. My first two rolls were a 5 and a 6.
Hey, yo! Okay. Oh, and then you have minus and steam.
And then I have minus 1.
And then the minus 2. Gotcha. All right, cool. Well, on a 7 to 9 with Skidoo, you escape but create a complication. You leave something behind. You take something with you, or you create tracks. Okay, cool. As the three of you are running, your avatar takes you up. Up the stairs, back into the hallways. It kind of looks around both ways. And out here, it is also beginning to like shake and tumble. And you can tell that the aesthetics of this part of the church is like, it's changing and morphing and flipping through randomly through different aesthetics. Almost as if it's trying to find a way. It's trying to figure out what it's supposed to look like, and it's not quite sure what it is. So it's just flipping through a bunch of different, which you could only imagine to be like different versions of like what a church or like a place of worship could look like. So it's flipping through like, you know, classic Baptist, like Southern Baptist, like churches. It's flipping through cathedrals. It's flipping through mosques and synagogues and Buddhist temples. It is like rapidly morphing and changing, and nothing is like nothing here feels stable, not even the ground you're walking on. As you're running on it, it feels like fluid under your feet, trying to get a sense of what it's supposed to be. And as you're running, you can hear the voice of the source go,
Walter, I believe I am dying.
Yeah, I think you are.
It's not as painful as I thought it would be. It feels like getting tired. Very, very tired. I don't know if I have the energy to keep the shape of this church.
Can you hold it until we get out?
I can try.
Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you for everything. You've done your job. You've done an exceptional job.
I appreciate that. But I've only done my job well if you help people. I believe the phrase is, the onus is now on you?
Yeah, I guess it is. I won't let you down.
I appreciate that. Sister May, I'm sorry it had to end this way. You were a person I had to deal with. And I believe I've learned a lot from our experience together.
And as they say that, you see Sister May goes, well, stops, like, you piece of shit. Starts going on this tirade, right? Of like being like, you were supposed to be my power source. The stranger gave you to me. I don't allow this to happen. Like I very much is everything is against this. And as it flips through its many different forms, I think there's a version of this that looks like, I think the most fitting for this, it looks like this really gothic cathedral. And it's as you're all running, and I feel like this part is happening as you are all in the chapel for this, for the church as well. And of course, as you're going, you see all of these other people running out as well. All of the people who worked at the church, all of the people who were here for the rehabilitation program, like all of these people, they're helping each other out. They're like, they have no idea what's going on, but they can tell that this building is about to fall apart. And as it is happening, you catch like this part of the conversation, I think, in that kind of main chapel. It's a nice open area. It's got like all of the pews and all the iconography, and it's flipping through them. And you hear the voice of the source through, like, echoing throughout this hall. And as she is arguing with it, it gets to this cathedral where back behind the altar is this large statue of the stranger with embedded, like, carved in, like, iconography like before, and like wings made of hands enveloping the stranger. It's this really, really powerful religious iconography, and it falls on her. She sees it.
Oh, shit.
Too late. It gets her, trapping her like from like waist down, at least under its under its weight. She screams out in pain, reaches out towards you. And Walter, you have a choice here. You can help her out from under this, but if you do, you're not sure if you will make it.
Walter looks at her and he says, "You had so many chances to do the right thing. You failed every time. I believe in second chances. I believe in third and fourth and fifth and whatever, but I have a promise to keep." And he leaves.
Okay. Whew. You run out the front door with the rest of the people. She screams, yells, begs for your help as you cross the border between the inside of the church and the outside. And the outside, you can tell that it is falling in on itself. And not just that, you can see there's something going on with the large tree in the center of town, the thing that you know is connected to the source. Its leaves are falling out. The branches along it wither, and you can see as the trunk begins to gray. There are people all around town watching as people begin filing out of the church, seeing the havoc that this is causing, and then also feeling the tremors that seem to be affecting a lot of town, but not really in the same kind of structural way that it is the church, and then seeing the town's tree dying. We cut back over to Dorothy and Dakota and Aaron. Dakota, you follow Aaron's directions until you get to the end of a hallway that has a large grate. It's got a large metal door with a spinning wheel as a knob, almost like a bank vault door. And they pointed out and said, "Through there."
This takes us outside?
It'll take us into the sewers. From there, we can get outside.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And Dakota, sets them down next to the door and starts trying to turn the knob.
Give me a steam roll here.
That is a 9.
Okay. You are able to open this grate. You're able to open this door. It's slow and burdensome as you begin turning this old metal knob that probably hasn't been used in quite some time. And you're able to open it, and you pull it open again as the building is beginning to fall out around you. And you can see that on the other side of it is like towards the end of a pipe. And then you hear the sound of like running water on the other side of that.
Yeah. Dakota picks Aaron back up and offers to carry Dorothy if she wants it, and kind of puts a hand out.
I begrudgingly take it.
Cool. Yeah, so Dakota kind of takes them both through the pipe and like kind of like running quickly and like gets to like the water.
Awesome. Yeah, you go through the pipe and you find yourself in a sewer. There is still like the shaking and rattling in here of the tremors that are happening caused from all of the commotion outside. And you are able to, you know, I think the three of you are able to find your way through the sewers. Aaron points you in direction, and eventually you find a an exit, like out towards like a manhole with a ladder and such, and the three of you make it out more or less unscathed. You pop open the manhole cover, which leads to a place in the middle of town somewhere, and you I imagine that you put Aaron over your shoulders, climb out the best that you can. Dorothy, you climb out after them, and the three of you find yourselves like out in the middle of town. You see like I feel like you're probably like on the other end of the park that was in the middle of town, and you can see like people are beginning to gather as like seeing all of these people that have run out of the church, the earthquake that's going on, and the three of you also see as the tree in the center of town begins dying and the leaves fall, lose their color, the trunk ashens, the limbs wither, crack off their branches and fall.
Dakota kind of stands on the sidewalk for a second, holding both of them, watching as this beautiful monolith is dying, and kind of like turns his head to the side and goes and like tries to like call like cast iron
the car. Yeah, sure. Why not? Yeah, for sure. I think, Walter, you are exiting out by the front of the church. So you see that Dakota's vehicle, cast iron, is still out front. And like while you're like watching everything happen, I think you notice the engine rev to life and it begin to drive by itself.
I think he's like looking at the tree, same as everyone else, and then notices that. And is the avatar still?
Yeah, the avatar is still with you.
Cool. He like says like to his avatar, he says, "Oh, that's okay. That's Dakota's car. We gotta go. Come on." He like says like not sure if it will follow him.
Yeah, no, it definitely follows you.
Yeah, he runs after the car.
Awesome. Yeah, sure, why not? Yeah, you are able to catch up to the car. You hop onto either one of the spokes of the car and you like hold onto it, or you hold onto the back of the car, I imagine, like onto the handle of the trunk, and it starts driving you off. And I think that there's a shot that Walter doesn't see, but we the audience see, as cast iron drives off and like the camera's like out of like focus, like looking at like all of the people and stuff, like at the base of the church, and slowly comes into focus as we see a form like running up trying to catch up to the car. And as the car's already gone and the camera focuses on it, we see Elsie, who you couldn't have seen and didn't hear, calling out to you as she was running up to you and you rode off. And we go back to Dakota, Aaron, and Dorothy as cast iron rounds the corner, speeds down the road, and then like drifts to a stop right next to the three of you. And you see Walter riding on the back of it with a floating friend, a weird eye sphere of semi-liquid like material covered in eyes, floats next to him.
They kind of look surprised. What's happening? Walter, what'd you do?
He like looks around and says, I think I killed it.
Killed what?
The church.
It was alive?
In a way, yeah. He looks like between them and just says, I'm really glad you guys are okay.
I'm glad you're okay too, Walter.
Me too. We should get away from this place.
Walter looks to his avatar.
Uh-huh.
And he says, what do you think?
It stares at you silently, and you all hear Aaron, who I guess Dakota might have just like sat on the ground, go, what the fuck is that?
An old friend.
That's not that's nothing. Okay.
No, yeah, I realized that was a completely useless description. This is my avatar. I don't know if it has a name. Oh, I could give it a name. Call it Kevin.
It looks at you and spin, and then each of you individually see, like, a handful of eyes look at you and focus on you as it, like, looks at the three of you individually and then, like, floats around all three of you as if, like, trying to get a good angle of what you look like from every angle, I guess.
Dorothy has just, like, an immediate, like, gut reaction of, like, shying away from these eyes.
Yeah.
Feels
possibly
very...
the most reasonable reaction to that, to this scenario.
I don't know. What kind of sense would Dorothy be getting from this evaluation? Does it feel calculated in any way? Does it feel
free of emotion?
Does it feel, yes, thank you.
Take a gander here.
I just vibe check this weird
quick
eye
vibe
entity.
Check. Yeah.
Guess I'm rolling one of the cursed die.
Tragic.
Because that one's gone. Let's see. That is a 9.
Whew. Ask your GM 2 of the following questions. One answer will be true, the other a lie.
Right. What are they thinking? And what here isn't as it appears to be?
You just heard Walter call this thing an avatar, which means aside from the big eye thing that it is that's really creepy and such, you would know that it's the same thing that Elsie was. So aside from being the creepy thing, it is a program that has been put on to Walter to change him in some way. So that's what here is not what it appears to be. What is it thinking? It's looking at you in a way that I think Dorothy would almost... I was about to use an analogy that's actually really bad for Dorothy because it makes it worse. I was going to say, it looks at you in the way that, like, an excited dog looks at you. where it's like, oh, new person. What's this? But I know for Dorothy, that's actually... I mean, you know what? That's fair. Take from that what you will. Like, it looks at you in the excited way that an animal sometimes looks at a new person, being like, oh, who's this? And, like, trying to get to better understand you. And because it's all eyes, it's visual.
Yeah, I think, like, at one point it maybe even, like, gets a little too close.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, instinctually, like, swat at it, maybe?
Yeah, it, like, floats back.
Like, swat it away.
Yeah, it floats back to, like, avoid it and, like, kind of rotates on its axis again as it's looking at you and then looks at you just from a little bit further of a distance.
I think on pure habit, Dorothy does kind of try to edge behind Dakota.
For sure.
Without even thinking about it, just to kind of, like, get away from these staring eyes.
Dakota, do you have a reaction?
I don't think so. I think Dakota trusts Walter's judgment, and just if this is something that Walter trusts, then Dakota has to learn to trust it too.
Okay. Aaron responds, it's pretty fucking freaky. Ask it not to look at me. Don't look at me. It looks up at it. It's like, don't look at me. I don't like this. This is weird. Can we get out of here also before, people start coming around?
Yeah. I think we should.
We kind of stand out.
Just give me a second. And Walter addresses his avatar. He says, "You led me to where I needed to be last time, and I wonder if you can do the same again. I need to contact the creator. Can you help me do that?"
The eye begins to change in a way where it feels like some of the material of its body begins to lift off of its body and separate, almost into various rings that the eyes are, like, around the circumference of, like, circling the center mass of its shifting ferrofluid-like body. And then the rings begin to spin around it as it floats closer towards you in a very biblical angel-esque sort of way. And then after a couple of seconds, the rotating rings align with each other in a singular Saturn-like ring around it. The eyes spinning along the axis, and then it folds back into the singular mass, and all of the eyes open again along it and look towards you. And you can't fully tell, but it looks like it's nodding.
Okay. What do I do?
It starts flying off in a direction.
Okay. Walter says, I say we follow it, please. Can I follow it?
Dakota? Dorothy?
It's Dakota's car. It's Dakota's car. I've never seen this thing before, I'm pretty sure.
Before we get in the car, before Dakota kind of responds, Dakota looks around, like, the park, around the trees. Does Dakota see Marley?
Give me a noodle check.
That's a 10.
Yeah, Dakota sees Marley amongst a growing crowd of people in the park that are looking at the dying tree in the center of town. She is not, like, looking in your directions. As far as you know, she's not even aware that you are all here. But she is quite obviously concerned, as is everyone here, about what's happening with the tree.
Dakota takes a step in that direction and stops, realizing that it's probably best to stay out of this person's life and to let them make their choices without them interfering. And looks to Walter and goes, do you know where it went?
Specifically, no, but he like gestures with his head that way.
And then looks down to Dorothy and Aaron. Are you coming with us or do you want to stay here?
Let's go.
I mean, I don't particularly like any of you, but you said you're looking for the creator. I'm interested. I'll go.
Okay. Walter, where's Brittany?
Where is Brittany?
Last time any of you knew, she was in the building.
Walter says, I don't know.
Dorothy?
I don't know.
Okay. Dakota, I guess, picks up Aaron and puts them in the backseat of Cast Iron.
Okay.
And closes the door and then looks back to the group and is like, are we good?
Walter doesn't answer. He looks at Dorothy.
Let's just go. It's getting away.
I can catch it. Before we go anywhere, I'm not going to have more moments where we all run away from each other or we're fighting again. We need to settle this now.
It's fine, Dakota.
It's clearly not fine. Listen, the more we push it off, the more it's going to cause problems.
I don't know what you want from me, Dakota. You're a completely different person. I'm a completely different person. I just want to go home. You don't want to go home. I don't know what you want.
I want you to be safe and happy. And I want to be safe and happy. That's all I care about. I don't know what you need. I made a lot of choices for you. And I understand that that's not fair. But like you said, you're a big kid and you can make your choices.
Are you willing to be my friend again? You obviously don't want to be my sister. So that's the best I can think of.
I can be your friend, Dorothy. I can do that. And I don't want to be your sister, Dorothy, but the best I can do is your brother. I don't want to be a girl, and it has nothing to do with you.
Okay, that's fine with me. I've never had a brother.
Might be worth a try.
Well, we'll try it. And I look back at the car again. So can my brother catch that weird, crazy thing that just flew off?
Oh, I know I can. And Dakota gets in the driver's seat.
Okay.
I get in the car.
Okay. Walter?
Yeah. Walter gets in the car, and as he does, he just says, hey, I love you guys. I don't know if I ever said that, but I do.
I love you too, buddy. And Dakota kind of, gives Walter a little, pinch in the shoulder, but instead it's just, his index finger.
Sure, yeah.
Aww.
Love you too, Walter.
Yeah, all right. Let's hit the road.
You all get in the car, sharing these weird moments of love. Aaron sitting in the back seat.
Poor Aaron.
Does Dorothy sit in the front or the back?
I sit in the back. Okay. I'm still also, a kid.
I will say that when Dorothy opens the door, there's like a leather and spiked booster seat.
Same. Hell yes.
Oh, that's good.
Safety first, kids.
That's really good.
Walter's in the front seat, which is like no better or worse for him than any other seat in a car.
For sure.
I mean, do you want like a tiny little booster seat in the front passenger seat?
He just wants a smaller seat belt in addition to the large one.
And it's my car. I can kind of whatever I want, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Do you want to play like a tiny little seat in the console?
Hell yeah.
Okay, there you go. It's there.
There you go. You all strap into your newly customized seats in cast iron, and you rev up the engines, flames shoot out of the exhaust, and you speed off in the direction of Walter's avatar. And I think, unseen by our little troublemakers, there's the shot that sees them like driving off like further down the street, and a slow pan towards Sheriff Edgar, who is sitting on his squad car watching as everybody's panicking. The cops are trying to like start getting people together, and he sees you all drive off, his half scarred face, a cigarette in his mouth. He spits it out, steps on it, gets in his car. The engine turns over, he revs it, and we cut to black.
This was a pretty good session.
Very good session. All right, everybody. Yeah. Let's do our end of session stuff. Starting from the top. Now we're here. Hey, Dakota. Were you good to your friends?
I freaky say yeah.
Yeah, I would say you were as well. You helped everybody out. You were a little mean, but you tried to apologize, and then you did all this stuff. I would say, yeah, that's 1 XP worth. Dorothy, were you good to your friends?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, you were very good to Aaron.
Did my actions indirectly really fuck up Aaron's life? Yes. But I also tried my best.
That's just sometimes how the dice rolls. So, you know, that's not necessarily Dorothy's fault.
That's not Dorothy's fault. That's my fault.
1 XP to you. Walter, were you good to your friends?
I don't know, probably, right? Like, there's probably some interpretation of what I did that was good. Although he did, like, kind of make friends with the healer source and then say, like, yeah, you can die if you wanna. Like,
you can die if you want to.
You can sacrifice yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
I'd say only you're given in mind. A choice.
Yeah.
Like, we don't really give a direct choice to be good or bad to us, I feel like. So, I don't know.
I think
it's kind of up to your own interpretation.
I mean, I think you were good to the source.
You think so?
I think so.
And when you were addressing the source, you like directly asked about Dorothy and like what would be able
to
be done for her and all. Like, I think that was good, like, concern and helpfulness towards your friends.
All right, yeah, then I'm gonna say yeah.
Woohoo!
Dope. All right, 1 XP for you, Dakota. Did you overcome your fears?
I'm going to say kind of, yeah. I think Dakota's fear of abandonment. I think that giving Dorothy the choice to say yes or no, that, like, she just wanted to leave and not have Dakota around, was Dakota being vulnerable and, like, opening himself up to the possibility that someone just doesn't want them.
Yeah, I agree. 1 XP, Walter.
That's a level up, baby.
Woo-hoo. We're on Face Your Fears.
Correct.
I want to say, he definitely did. Because one of his fears is his transformation being permanent. And he was willing to potentially accept that for the sake of...
Yeah.
So, absolutely he did.
I agree. 1 XP for that. Dorothy.
I would say, I don't know, maybe Dakota was, like, low-key pretty scary to Dorothy for, like, the past couple of sessions, at least.
Yeah. They are kind of like an adult man.
Yeah, a little bit. So I'm gonna say maybe a soft, like,
yeah.
Yes, yeah. Maybe?
I'd say yes. You stood up against a masculine, aggressive figure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Last question. Did you learn a lesson, Dakota?
Man, Dakota learned that he fucking hates Aaron.
He hates Aaron? Wow. Wow. Interesting.
What a wholesome lesson.
Does Dakota learn a lesson there? Trying to think what the lesson would be. I think the fact that I have to think so hard about it, probably no.
Oh, fair enough. Gus...
probably not. No, I don't think so.
All right. Dorothy.
Did I learn a lesson? I think maybe, because I feel like the persistence of just being willing to keep bugging and agitating Dakota, which is something that I don't like to do, and don't usually do as, like, a small child. Mm-hmm. Is, like, try to throw my weight around. So, like, maybe learned that, like, it can be effective to just, like, get up in people's faces sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, awesome. That's 1 XP for you. And with that, we are done. Thank you all so much for listening in on our fun little podcast. Definitely only wholesome and fun quirky things happening here. And you can find our Twitter at @TalesYetTold. And that's also our Instagram title. And as always, I am your most humble award-winning GM, Kendo, and you can find me at Kendo Makes Films everywhere on the internet. And as always, with me are my most wonderful award-winningness players as well. Gus.
I am your wonderful award participating. No, I'm not going to be like that. Yeah, I'm on social media and stuff at August_Knobbe. That's KNOBBE.
Awesome. Also with us, Hilda.
That's soon to be Dr. Hilda to you.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Dr.
God, I would be insufferable if I was like that. You can find my wonderful cat who has been screaming throughout this episode. On Instagram at Elliot the Kitty Cat. That's 2 L's and 2 T's in Elliot. He is the pride and joy of my life, and I love him very much.
Awesome. And last but most certainly not least, Marcy.
Hello.
Hi, Marcy. You can find me on the internet at Twitch and Twitter, in which Twitter I post some spicy, not safe for work content. My usernames for those are Soapy Squid, SOAPIESQUID. And I appreciate y'all being here. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you in a few weeks.
Yes. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, every single person.
Yes.
Thank you.
And before we go, don't forget to eat enough food, drink enough water, get enough sleep, and take care of yourself. Because self-care is very important. Don't forget to love yourself like we love you.
Like we love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Love you guys.
Be gay. Roll Dice.
An LGBTQIA actual play podcast network.